Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're going to look at Wilt Thou Be Made Whole tonight. Let's open in prayer. Father, we praise you. We thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the salvation that has been provided by the Lord Jesus Christ. And within that salvation is healing and health and strength. And we praise you for that, Lord. Lord, I pray that every person who hears this will partake of it as food, as spiritual food, and will mix it with faith and take hold of it and receive from you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're looking at Wilt Thou Be Made Whole? And tonight we want to look at some of the responsibilities that the Lord places upon receivers of his blessings. You know, faith is what pleases God. The Bible says without faith it's impossible to please him. And we have to understand that knowledge of the will of God is not something that just randomly comes upon you, but it comes into your heart as you deposit into your heart. There are many people that don't know that it's God's will to heal. They don't even know what's in their salvation. They might even be born again, but they know nothing past, oh yes, I'm going to heaven. But you know, Jesus paid the price. He paid the price for the whole man, spirit, soul, and body. Let's have a look at Galatians 3, verses 5 to 9. See, healing has been provided. So let's look at Galatians 3, 5 to 9 first of all, and an understanding that God has provided in Christ a wonderful salvation, a new covenant, which is better than the old covenant. The old covenant definitely had healing and health and strength in it, so the new covenant must have that even more so. And Galatians 3, we'll look at starting from verse 5, and we'll go to verse 9. Now, there are responsibilities on the receiver. You cannot please God if you don't approach him in trust and believing. In other words, in faith. You cannot please God if you don't believe his word. And there are many people that don't believe his word. Galatians 3, starting from verse 5, "He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith?" So you've got to think about this. Is it by him or her getting up and whipping up by their own strength, some sort of zapping of the congregation or the people who need healing? Or is it by the hearing of faith? Okay, you've got to think of this. Hearing with ears of faith. And verse 6 says, "Even as Abraham," what? "Believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness." You know, you can believe God for healing, and it'll be accounted to you for healing and health. Verse 7, "Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham." So he's talking about faith, faith, faith. Faith, faith, faith means trust, trust, trust. Believe, believe, believe. Trusting in the Lord, believing what he says, and saying, that settles the matter in my heart. And we are the children of Abraham, and if you read the account of Abraham in the book of Genesis, you'll know that he was a man that trusted the Lord, and he would act on what the Lord said. The Lord said, go there, and he would go. The Lord said, I will give you a multitude as the stars. He believed that. He took hold of that. And in fact, there was healing of both his body and his wife's body. Verse 8 says, "And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith," so once again faith comes up, "preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham." And so we have to see ourselves as blessed. Do not call yourself cursed. Don't speak sickness over yourself or infirmity over yourself. Say, I am blessed with faithful Abraham. Another scripture says that Abraham was blessed in all things. God blessed him in all things. So that means we are blessed in all things, but it has to be by faith we believe that. And wouldn't it be a good confession to say, I am blessed in all things because I'm a child of Abraham. I'm blessed with faithful Abraham in all things. That's a good confession to come out of your mouth. I am blessed with faithful Abraham in all things, including healing, including strength, including deliverance from all trouble. Also go across to verses 13 and 14, and we see that the Lord Jesus Christ has done the work of salvation. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through, what's that word? Faith. So we see that the Lord Jesus Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. How did he do that? By becoming our substitute. He became a curse. The Bible says it very clearly there. He was made a curse for us. Something to praise the Lord about, isn't it? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, you were made a curse for me, and that I am redeemed from the curse of the law. Now, if you go back into Deuteronomy 28, for example, you'll see this is the curse of disobedience, and it talks about sickness and poverty and all types of trouble coming upon people. We have been redeemed, brought back, delivered from the curse of the law. And that was through the blood of Jesus. We've been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, the Bible says, as of a spotless lamb. So we know that there was a price paid for us. And that price that was paid for us was the Lord Jesus Christ. His blood poured out. He was our sacrifice. He was our substitute. And you can see it's a substitute because he was made a curse for us. And verse 14 says that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, and it's through faith. So he was made a curse for us that we might receive the blessing. The blessing, we know, must include everything that has been provided for and that's not the blessing is everything that's provided for us by being redeemed from the curse of the law. So that has to include healing and strength and health. And so what we should do in our hearts is say, well, I believe that. Because we remember what we read before, the working of miracles among you is by the hearing of faith. Remember, we quoted that scripture. And so it's the hearing of faith. If people sit here and, you know, there's been people that have sat in the congregation and within themselves they're making all types of justifications and arguments against. You need to, as the Bible says, possess ye your souls. Take control of what your soul is thinking. Say, no, I will listen to the word of God. I refuse the fear, the worry, the doubt, the unbelief. I refuse that to come in. So shut up and let me listen here by faith the word of God. And this is, you know, we have to be people that in the spirit are good soldiers of Jesus Christ. We can't, and this is, we're coming into what I call the responsibility upon the believer in the receiving of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. So, you know, by the stripes of Jesus ye were healed. There was the curse laid upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He became a curse for us. He was made a curse for us. And that the blessing might come on us. And healing was part of that. By the stripes of Jesus ye were healed. And he took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses, the scripture tells us. So when we accept that, when we say, okay, in salvation there is healing, there is strength, there is provision of that. When we accept that, then that's the first step. It always has to be the first step, because that's part of believing the word of God that the provision has been made. Once you've made that in your heart, as that is firm, that is something that I believe, and that cannot, I will not be altered from that. In other words, there's no return from that. I see what the word has said. I believe the word. He healeth all my diseases. That's final in my heart. That's final in my life. When that is so, then we see that there's a next part, the responsibility of receiving what has been provided. Have a look at John chapter 5, verses 1 to 9. John 5, verses 1 to 9. Now, there's a couple of things I just want to mention about this man who received his healing, but we'll read through it 1 to 9. And it says in John 5, 1 to 9, after this there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, a blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. Now, there's a lot we could talk about here. And you can see that people were relying very much on what men could do for them. Okay, but Jesus put the responsibility back on this man, and he asked him a question: wilt thou be made whole? In other words, will you be made whole? Will you be made whole? He's asking that question, and if you say yes, I'll be made whole, and we can say that today, I'll be made whole, then we can respond by faith, and Jesus will say, thy faith hath made thee whole. We'll look at a scripture saying that in a minute. Thy faith hath made thee whole. So can you see there's a responsibility on you? Will you be made whole? Will you believe? Will you receive? Will you be made whole? And whole of whatever infirmity, whatever disease, whatever problem it is. So we're not looking at the infirmity, we're not looking at the disease, we're not looking at the problem, we're looking at Christ, we're looking at the Word. And we must always put before us the Word, we must always put before us the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when this man's attention came to the Lord Jesus Christ, and Jesus said, rise, take up thy bed and walked, there must have been a response of believing faith, because you cannot receive anything except by faith. Now, if you go a little bit further in the chapter, verse 14, let's look at verse 14. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. So here we see Jesus putting responsibility back on him to keep his healing and to keep in a state of health. And he relates it to sinning. He says, sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. And you know, it's so very important. I cannot overstress the fact that Many people have all types of things that they've hidden in their heart and need to get right with the Lord about. Even Christians, they might be holding bitterness or be speaking against various brothers and sisters and so on. All different types of sins, lying and lusting, and we talked about lust on Sunday, and we know how to get rid of that. Abstain from fleshly lusts. You know, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's what the Scripture tells us. So there is a responsibility that comes on us to keep ourselves free from sin and to make sure that that doesn't have a place in our life. You know, you might say, well, I've been doing this habit all my life and it's just bound me up and I can't do anything again. Stop saying that. Stop saying you can't do anything against it. You can. You can. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. So the first thing you really need to do is get into the Word and see what does the Lord say about it. And then you speak the Word and you say, I can. Because God gives you the enabling, the grace, the power to resist sin and so on. And you know, the Bible says God will give you a way of escape for every temptation that comes against you. So there could be a temptation, it might be a great temptation to do the wrong thing. But God will give you a way of escape. And you know how, you know, all you have to do is ask the Lord, what is the way of escape out of this? And the Lord will show you. Sometimes it might be walking away from a situation. Sometimes it might be turning away from something or turning something off or not speaking at all so that you don't sin with your mouth and so on. So we have to see this responsibility on us, sin no more, and the responsibility, wilt thou be made whole. So tonight, will you be made whole? Do you believe? The hearing of faith, remember, do you believe that the Lord Jesus Christ has redeemed you from the curse of the law and by the stripes of Jesus you were healed? Will you be made whole? Have a look at 2 Samuel chapter 22, verses 32 and 33. 2 Samuel chapter 22. We'll look at verses 32 and 33. I am utterly convinced that if a person believes the word of God, if they believe the Bible, then you will bring it out of your mouth because it'll be in your heart. I'm utterly convinced that death and life is in the power of the tongue, and we must put into our mouths the right things. This is once again the responsibility of those receiving what God has provided, receiving by faith. Praise the Lord. 2 Samuel chapter 22, verses 32 and 33. 32 says, for who is God save the Lord, and who is a rock save our God? God is my strength and power, and he maketh my way perfect. What a wonderful confession you can put in your mouth there. God is my strength and power, and he maketh my way perfect. Now, is that based on your feelings? You might not feel strong. You might not feel powerful. But what should you be saying? God is my strength and power, and he maketh my way perfect. As you open yourself up to the Lord, he will make your way perfect. He will get things right for you. If you resist the Lord, as we saw before with that impotent man, he was told to sin no more. Well, obviously, he must have been sinning. Okay? And if you look in that scripture in John 5, clearly there was a trust in man. What we have to look to is the Lord Jesus Christ, to the Lord, and say, God is my strength and power. God is my rock. God is my strength and power. And put that into our mouths, put that into our hearts, Confess it every day. Say it over and over. God is my strength and power. God is my fortress. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. See, God puts his strength into you. The blessing of Abraham comes upon you. I am blessed with faithful Abraham. I am blessed with faithful Abraham. Can you see that? There's wonderful blessing even in the saying of it. Now, keep that in mind. We are children of Abraham. They which be of faith are children of Abraham. And there are rights we have in that, that things ought to be in our lives. Well, let's have a look at an example of that. Luke chapter 13, verses 10 to 17. And tonight, you know, it's important for you to first of all, as I said before, acknowledge that the Lord Jesus Christ has provided healing and strength and deliverance for you in the salvation that he has provided. And that once you've been born again, that is accessible to you. It's accessible to you, but it's always got to be by faith. And Luke 13, 10 to 17, let's have a look at what it says here in Luke 13, starting from verse 10. And he was teaching, talking about Jesus, he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. Now Jesus was teaching. Always think, what was he teaching? Was he just teaching fluff and bubble and rubbish, or was he teaching the Word of God? Well, you know the answer, don't you? The Bible says he was preaching the Word. He was teaching the Word of God, okay? He was teaching the truth. And that's what we want to do as well. Verse 11, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity, how many years? 18 years. And was bowed down, bowed together, and could in no wise lift up herself. She was in a terrible state. You think you're in a terrible state? Well, this woman was in a shocking state. Some people might even say there's no hope for that woman. No hope whatsoever. But in the Lord, it's a different story, isn't it? And she had been like this. So when it says a spirit of infirmity, so something had come into her body and was holding her in place here. Verse 12, and when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. It's like me saying, believer, Christ has redeemed you from the curse of the law, and by the stripes of Jesus you were healed. So what is Jesus saying here? Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. What happens if she had said in her heart, oh no, what he's saying is a load of rubbish. How could I be loosed from my infirmity? I've been like this for 18 years. You know? There'd be people like that. The Pharisees were like that. They were reasoning in their hearts all types of doubt and unbelief. But we see here a different thing happened. So verse 12, and when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. You know, one of the things that I've found quite interesting is that when people have been sick and then healed, all the time they want to go out and glorify God and testify of what the Lord has done. And so it's very important for us to be testifying in the Lord what he has done and what he does for us. Notice, she couldn't do that. She couldn't do that prior to that time of believing what Jesus had said and receiving. She couldn't do that prior to that time. But you'll find, you have a look at the healings in the Gospels, and you'll see that afterwards the people would go out and be testifying and glorifying God and so on. So the question naturally arises, what gives more glory to God? The person, it's giving glory to God for them to be in sickness and infirmity, or healed, and then they're giving glory to God You see what I'm saying? It is a stark contrast when you look at the Gospels and you see what Jesus does, and then people are released from bondage, released from infirmity, and then they want to glorify God. Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord, He's made me free. Praise the Lord, He's healed me. You know, we should believe the Scripture and praise the Lord, receive by faith. Verse 13, and he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them, therefore, come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. Now, what do you think Jesus would call such a person? Because that such a person should be glorifying that God did a great work in this woman's life. Verse 15, the Lord then answered him and said, thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And that's what he says in verse 16. And this applies to us today. And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed this day, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things done by him. Now, notice what he says in verse 16. Ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham? Now, are you a daughter of Abraham? Are you a son of Abraham? Well, if you're of faith, so then they which be of faith are what? Children of Abraham. So ought not you and me, be loosed? Shouldn't us be loosed? Notice he puts down whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years. Be loosed? Shouldn't we be loosed? We ought to be healed, in other words. We ought to be loosed. We ought to be prosperous. We ought to be healthy. Why? Because we are children of Abraham, and the Bible says that the blessing of Abraham has come upon us. Praise the Lord. Why? Not because of our own strength, but because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done in redeeming us from the curse of the law and becoming a curse or being made a curse for us. So we see here something that's very, very important for us to understand. We ought to be loosed, just like this woman. We ought to be loosed from infirmity, from sickness. We ought to be loosed. Okay? This is something that is very, very important. And when we come to the Scriptures, we say, I believe the Word. I believe that I ought to be free, I ought to be loosed, I ought to be healed, I ought to be strong. Okay, now a lot of people speak the problem. They'll say, you know, I've got this disease or that thing or that. Even Christians who should know better, even faith Christians sometimes are going around saying all the wrong things. They should know better. They should be saying, no. You're not denying the problem. What you're doing is you're speaking the truth. The truth is, I ought to be loosed from this. I am a child of Abraham. I am redeemed from the curse of the law. Therefore, infirmity, leave. Infirmity, stop. Sickness, get out. In the name of Jesus, you know, resist it. Obviously, this woman didn't resist it for 18 years. Obviously, there had to come a time when the Lord Jesus Christ revealed something to her. And he revealed, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he also revealed a greater truth, that she ought to be loosed as a daughter of Abraham. She ought to be loosed. So wilt thou be made whole? Well, I'm a daughter, or I'm a son, I'm a child of Abraham, I ought to be loosed. We can say that today. We ought to be loosed. We ought to be healed. not on the basis of what we've done, remember, but on what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. Otherwise, his sacrifice and the stripes that were laid upon him, we haven't availed of that. So we must say we ought to be loosed. And Mark 10, verse 52, let's look at that one. Mark 10, verse 52. It comes back to the responsibility on us. The responsibility on us to have faith. To have faith. So tonight, you'd be saying, yes, I believe what you've been saying, Pastor. I believe that. I believe the word. And so you want to step out by faith tonight. You want to have the laying on of hands and to be prayed for. And what you say is, when that happens, I'm going to receive my healing that I ought to have. Okay, that I ought to have because I'm a child of God. I'm a child of Abraham. Now, Mark 10, verse 52 says, "And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way." Notice that faith precedes the healing. Faith hath made thee whole. We read before that it's by the hearing of faith that there is the working of miracles. It's by the hearing of faith that things will happen. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Now, you've heard the word tonight. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The Bible also says that the word will not profit people if they don't mix it with faith. They don't say, "I believe, I am receiving what has been said, and I will do what the Lord has shown me to do in this." Praise the Lord. So you ought to be released. You ought to be loosed. You ought to be healed. It's not on the basis of your own strength or whether you deserve it or not. It's on the basis of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, you might have an Aunt Jenny that died. Oh, she deserved to be healed. No, she didn't. No one deserves to be healed because we were all dead in trespasses and sins. But we ought to be healed if we're Christians. We ought to be healed. We ought to be strong because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. And we give glory to God. Praise the Lord. So I pray that tonight there is a response of faith. And we'll look at Mark 5 and we'll finish with this section. Mark 5, 25 to 34. Mark 5, 25 to 34. Now, here was a woman that said something with her mouth. And I want you to see what she said with her mouth. And you can say with your mouth, you can say, "When the pastor lays hands on me tonight, I'm going to receive my healing and I'm going to be whole." That's a faith statement. Because I believe that I ought to be loosed. I ought to be healed. On the basis of what Jesus has done, he's redeemed me from the curse of the law. So notice what it says, and we're looking at Mark 5, verses 25 to 34. 25 says, "And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years," so that's a long time, isn't it? Issue of blood, some sort of problem in bleeding within her. Verse 26, "And had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, and touched his garment, for she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole." So what'd she say? "Oh, it's no use. It's no use touching his clothes. It's been with me for 12 years and nothing will happen."
Don't you step out here and say that type of thing. Oh, it's been with me for so long and nothing will happen. You may as well not step out if that's what you're going to say. What you've got to say is something will happen. Something will happen. And here she made a statement, a faith statement. If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. Do you think she had faith? We're going to see scripture that says she has. She had faith. Do you think she had faith? She must have had faith to say that. Okay? Verse 29, and straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, and the virtue was drawn. See, Jesus saw and sensed and understood faith being drawn, drawing from him. Okay, that virtue had gone out of him, turned about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said unto him, "Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, notice what he said, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." Isn't that wonderful? "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole." See, faith will draw upon the power of God. But you've got to say, "I will receive." And, you know, laying on of hands is part of stepping out by faith and saying, "Well, when hands are laid out on me, I will receive on the basis of the Word of God." Praise the Lord. Let's all bow our heads. And if you've come expecting to receive, and it's important for us to have come expecting in faith, let's pray. Father, I pray that people be loosed and free. This is what ought to happen and ought to be for the people of God, for the children of Abraham. And we are that. And Lord, I pray that every person here would have within them that knowledge and understanding through the hearing of faith in the name of Jesus. Oh, in declaramoko. We praise you, Lord. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.